Tonight, I guess everyone know I'm not Pastor Bob. trying to load this computer, so just bear with me. Software is slow. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, we will be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. But before we get started, let me just say a prayer. Give God all the glory, honor, and praise before I even start. We should always put him first in everything that we do anyway. So, blessed be God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy has begotten us. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, dear Lord, I pray thee, dear Lord, that that you help me with this ministry, dear Lord. Move me out of the way, dear Lord, and let the Spirit fill me and just give me all the words to say. I will always give you all the glory, honor, and praise, put you first in whatever I do and whatever I say. In Christ Jesus, I thank thee. Amen. Scripture reading will come from 1 Peter chapter 1. I might not cover it all, but we're going to go from verse 1 to verse 12. Same thing I did this past Sunday. The same scripture that I went through this past Sunday. And it reads as follows. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and faded not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perished, though it be tried and with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophet has inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. And final verse, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Again, let me pray over this. Most gracious Heavenly Father, let every ear hear tonight, hear your words, dear Lord, and not my word. And Heavenly Father, just help me to articulate the words according to your will and not my will. In Christ Jesus, I thank thee. Amen. My brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to talk about 1 Peter. And Peter is sending out a letter. Peter identified himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ, which means, from what I have learned, apostle is a messenger, all right, an ambassador, and there are some other words for an apostle. But he is a messenger for Jesus Christ. And we all know Peter as being someone that spent a lot of time with Jesus during his ministry. So what better person could possibly send this message out to the people in Asia Minor, which they were being persecuted daily for their belief. And speaking of being persecuted daily for their belief, this is just my thought behind this and from what I have interpreted these days and everything. Today, we're still being persecuted. And the reason why we're being persecuted because we do not speak of Jesus anymore. We don't speak of the gospel. We don't tell people about what Christ has done for us to save us from destruction. So sometime, you know, we must speak up. Even when there's a little glimmer that you can, you know, glean something to someone where they can glean it from you, to talk to them and let them know that, hey, Christ is alive. And we serve a living God. We don't serve idols or anything like that. We don't serve statues. We're Christians. But the key thing about this, Peter articulate, he have a target audience. He's talking to a specific group of people. They are Jewish Christians. They're being persecuted during the time of Nero, and there are some other leaders in here during that time. They are being persecuted daily. And Peter is trying to encourage them to keep the faith in whatever you do. And we should all try to keep the faith. And what we shouldn't try, we should keep the faith. Whatever we do, we should always stay faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, Peter is weaving his words in here to encourage the Jewish people in this particular arena, in this particular Roman province. I guess that's a better terminology. And he is, like I said, he is trying to encourage them to keep the faith, whatever they're going through. More than likely, they have heard the gospel, and now they have been converted from Judaism to Christianity. And with that in mind, you have to understand what is going on in that province at that time, especially in the Roman era during Nero. I mean, they was being executed, killed. I mean, today we have the freedom here in the United States that where we can talk anytime we want to as a Christian, but we don't use that voice that we have. We'll let Satan in his other dominions or whatever his little imps that he has, and we'll let them talk us out of a lot of our freedom as a Christian. One in particular, I'm not going to mention the name, and I pray that it doesn't come out. There's a industry that is being persecuted by certain people. And in the Bible, it tells this particular people that, hey, look, you won't inherit the kingdom of God if you keep on doing what you're doing. But as Christian, God tells us, Jesus Christ tells us, love our neighbors. Do good to those that persecute you. We're not supposed to hate anyone. That is what the gospel is about. We're supposed to love everybody. You know what? You can love your enemy. And that's what he said, love your enemy. We should love them. But at the same time, we should be able to persuade them We should be able to persuade them to, hey, let me talk to you for a minute. I understand where you're coming from, but let me tell you what my father told me and my Lord told me about what is going on in your life. My brothers and sisters, this country, I feel like it's going back to Sodom and Gomorrah. I really do. Now, that's just coming from me, but you can see it. But we are not opening our voices up to it because we have what you call man-made laws, and we have Christian laws, God's law. And it's right here in the Bible. Excuse me. But we have to be careful. We still love them. I love them. I really do. I don't hate any man. But they need to know. I believe they are just misinformed on what's going on in the life. I'm not talking against anyone, anything like that, because I used to be a sinner. So then if Christ forgave me, he can forgive them as well. And that's what we're in the business of doing. But going back to back to the Bible, Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ. I told you he was a messenger and an ambassador of Jesus Christ. He is talking to the strangers scattered. The Jewish people has always been scattered throughout history, throughout the Bible. If you look back in, you can go all the way back to Esther. They were scattered. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, they were all scattered. And if you go, let's go to Leviticus 26 and 33. Go to Leviticus 26 and 33. We're talking about people being scattered, right? They're strangers, they're pilgrims and things of that nature. Go to Leviticus 26 and 33. And I will not keep you long, I promise. I shouldn't promise, but I'm going to try my best not to keep you long. Go to Leviticus 26 and 33. And look at what God is going to do for his people. God had already predestined that his people would be scattered. He predestined that they would be scattered amongst the heathen. 26 and 33. And if a man, sorry. 26 and 33. And I will scatter you among the, let me go up one more. Let's go to 31. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of their sweet odor. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall astonish at it. And here's the key word. And I will scatter you among the heathen and draw out the sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities wasted. Our Heavenly Father had already told the people what would happen to them in their disobedience to him. And the reason why that he told them that, he made a covenant with them. They are his chosen people, which is a part of my sermon tonight. They are his chosen people. But he told them that they would be scattered. And when you scatter a people, it's like you're sprinkling, to me, it's like you're shaking out salt here and there. But sometimes salt has a nice savor to it. Sometimes God will spread out people to get his word out. We have in this world today, we have a lot of people that are going from country to country. They're being scattered. Maybe they're Maybe it's in God's plan to scatter them here in the United States. Maybe it's God's plan to scatter them in Europe. Maybe it's his plan to scatter them in China or whatever. But I think God's mission is to make sure everyone, which it is, to hear the gospel. To hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't know. We have no earthly idea why people are coming here until we hear what they have to say. But sometimes people are trying to get in a new place for a new life, to be able to be free, to learn, to be educated, to have their children, to have a better life than where they are. And maybe that's why God, maybe why that's why we're having all this turmoil right now. And maybe that's why we always want to put up a barrier to keep them out. And to me, when you put up a barrier, to me that's it's like it's demonic, really. It's all right to protect your borders. I understand that. But regardless of what you do, and I'm gonna give you one pointer. I'm gonna tell you about this. Regardless of what you do, you can dig under it. You can dig tunnels on it. A good example of it, North Korea. North and South Korea. I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's tunnels. They got wire on top of the ground, but they got tunnels going under. People still trying to get across. So what's the difference? Why would you put up a barrier trying to keep someone out that's trying to get in? Maybe God is sending them here to get them educated religiously. But anyway, that's just one example of a dispensation. I'm sorry, not dispensation, being dispensed. They're being scattered throughout Asia Minor amongst the heathen. God predicted that, and he did. But Peter is trying to talk to them, and he also called them strangers. In some of your Bibles, it might say stranger or it might say pilgrim. But I think he's talking about a spiritual. I think he's talking about a spiritual stranger because we all strangers here. We all pilgrims. This is not our home, my brothers and sisters. We're just here temporarily. This is not our home. God is trying to mold us to get to a point that where he wants us to be. And I'm going to show you later on. And it goes on to say, let's go back to 1 Peter. It says that the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the elect means one who is chosen of God to salvation. One who is chosen of God unto salvation. 1 Peter 2:9 says, be ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Now that was 1 Peter 2:9. Chapter 2:9. We all are chosen. We all are predestined by God. In eternity past, God foreknew, and I always use this, he foreknew that you would be sitting here. He already knew it. It's a done deal. He already know who's going to receive the message. He already know who's going to be saved. He already know who's going to get into heaven. He already knows. He foreknew it in eternity past. Now, foreknowledge is nothing more than a foresight. Foreknowledge is nothing more than, Foreknowledge is not simply foresight or advanced knowledge. It is God's destination in eternity past to bring certain ones into a special relationship with him. God is doing things in our life when he chose you. When he chose you, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to sit back and just stay quiet. He is getting us prepared for a particular task that only you can do or I could do. Everyone have a mission. When God chose you, you have a particular task that he is preparing you for. One in particular. Let's go to Acts. And for some reason, this stuck with me when I was reading this the other day. Go to Acts chapter 16. It talks about the Apostle Paul. And I want to say Timothy and Silas. Go to Acts chapter 16, and I'll tell you what verse it is when we get there. In Acts chapter 16, in this particular chapter, between 5 and 9, Paul wanted to go through Asia Minor. But there were certain areas that the Spirit would not allow him to go into. Once God has chosen you, he's going to equip you with the tool. And that is the Holy Spirit, to do the things that he wants you to do. But notice that Paul, when he went, the Spirit told him not to. It wasn't Paul's mission at the time. Because just what I just said a few minutes ago, he wasn't equipped to go in at that time. It wasn't his mission to go in at that time. But later on, if you read on through, the Holy Spirit allowed him to go in because he was equipped. That's what God is trying to do with us. He's trying to equip us with the things that he know that we can do. Pastor Bob was teaching on something like this the other day when he was talking about, I don't want to say talents, but he was talking about something else. But I would like to use talents as an example. When Jesus told the parable of the servants, that when the master went away, he gave each one according to their ability. That's what God is doing to us. He's giving things to us according to our ability. He gave what? 1, 3, 2, and 1. But the servant that had one talent, what did he do? He buried it. But the thing about it, God gave it to him. What Jesus was trying to say, God has given us that talent, but we're not using it. And then what happened when the master came back? He buried it. He came back and he said, Master, here it is. We will be rewarded according to our works. All of us will be rewarded according to our works. I'm not saying you're going to be punished. I'm just saying you're just going to miss some of your rewards, like Pastor Bob said. You know, we all have rewards. But moving right along. Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification. Through sanctification. Sanctification is what? Let's put it like this. The spiritual sanctification, he is setting us apart for salvation from destruction. Those whom God foreknew, he is setting us apart. And then it goes on, it says that through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, that particular part of the scripture is an allusion of Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 10. If you want to, we can go there. Matter of fact, we have a little bit of time. We can go there. Exodus chapter 24. And actually, it's an allusion of, I can describe it to you. You can go there if you want to, but I'm just going to describe it to you. It is an allusion of when Moses and the children of Israel made a covenant with the Almighty God. Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 11. But the key verse in here is this. The key verse in here is from verse 6 to verse 8, and it reads as follows. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offering of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Verse 7, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and obey. That's the key. We will do and we will obey. Let's go on down to verse 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. This particular part of the scripture, Peter is trying to explain to them what is going on. Because without the shedding of blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are being covered in the blood and everything, we are being, I'm just going to say, we are being preserved, or we are being saved. The blood of Christ, it helps us to do the things that we are supposed to do. And the key to this particular scripture is that the people said in obedience that we will do. So once you've been sprinkled with the blood of Christ, or you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you still must stay obedient to what he say. There you go, experiential. All right, Pastor Bob, there you go. And if you go down in this particular chapter, it goes all the way down. It said, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Grace is more of a what? Unmerited favor. A Greek terminology. Peace is more of a Hebrew type of terminology, which means shalom. And he said, be multiplied unto you. And if you go down to verse 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father. That particular verse, Peter comes out, he's praising God. He's praising God. He said, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us. In other words, we are being born again. And how should we be born again? In the Spirit. And how should we worship him? In his Spirit and in truth. To a living hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, faded not away, reserved in heaven. There's nothing going to take this inheritance out of God's hand. It's stored up in heaven for us. It's preserved in heaven for us. It's waiting for us, for God to give it to us. And I read somewhere else, it says that this particular verse is talking about the crown of righteousness. It's talking about our crown of righteousness. verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Faith is our key. If you have no faith in Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, how can you receive the gift that he has for you? How can you say that you're saved if you don't have faith? Because in Hebrews chapter 1, Pastor Bob went through this, Hebrews 11, verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So by that, my brothers and sisters, we must, even though we don't see it, we still should keep our faith, because if we have no faith in Jesus Christ, how can he have faith in us? Number one, he remained faithful when we remain unfaithful. He cannot deny himself. Going right along, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if if need be, ye are heaviness with manifold temptation. And going right on down to verse 7, the trials of your faith being much more precious than gold that perished, that it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of his appearance. Now, trials, temptation. James chapter 1, around in that first verse. You can turn over to James chapter 1. I think James said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. And I'll read it. You can read along with me. But I'll go up to verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greetings. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let your patience have her perfect works, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So when you're going through difficulties in your life, we should just count it all joy. Because our faith is in Jesus Christ, we need to let those things go. Whatever you're going through, because trials and tribulation is going to come your way, regardless of what you do. Are you going to worry about your trials? Are you going to depend on Jesus Christ to help you through those matters? Because here's the kicker. And it comes from the prophet Job. Job went through some of the greatest trials and tribulations and temptations and everything that a man could go through, and he survived. And he came out as pure gold. So when we're going through those trials and tribulations, God is trying to refine us. There's something going on in our life that he's trying to move out our way so he can put us in a position to do what he has called us to do. Job 23 and 10. Go to Job 23 and 10. Let's see what he said there. Job 23 and 10. Are you there? I'm not. I'm not. 23 and 10. That's 24, 23, and 10. Okay, we're going to go all the way up to verse 8. God knows men's ways. Behold, I go before you, but ye is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive you. On the left hand where he has done work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Here's the kicker, verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. I will come forth as gold. But it was like when I was teaching in the military. There's a way of making semiconductors. You need aluminum and you need some other components. But what you had to do, you had to take out the impurities in the aluminum or the other type of substrate to make a semiconductor. So what I'm trying to tell you, when you're being tried by God's fire, it will move the impurities out of you, like I said earlier, that where he can move you in a position to do what he wants you to do. There's something that's hindering you from doing God's work, and he's working with you to get you there. It is the best thing that you can do today is to be in God's will. And one thing I like about what Job said, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. I mean, back in his time, he knew that his Redeemer lived. And God is trying to get us there to understand that our Redeemer lives. He's living for us. He's up there taking on our prayers, supplication. When the enemy comes to him, he's our lawyer. He's an advocate for us. He's fighting for us. He said, no, say nah, no. What did Jesus tell Peter? Satan desired to sift you as wheat. Now, if he desired to sift Peter as wheat, just think what he's trying to do to you and me, trying to stop me from doing what God has called me to do. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get there. So whenever I get trials or tribulation come my way, I know that God is just refining me, taking all the impurities out of me. So I'll be pure as gold because I'm covered in the blood anyway. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. I am his. He owns me. Whatever he wants me to do, Lord, just say it and I'll do it. But I need to hear it plainly where I can hear it because I'm just not going to jump out there anymore like I used to. You hear something, Lord, if it was you, tell me like you told Gideon. If I have due over here, then okay, is that what you want me to do? Okay, Lord, all right, I got to test you again, Lord. Do you want me to do this? It's got to be clear. What do you want you to do? So don't just jump out there and say, okay, God called me to do that, because you might get hurt in the long run. It might not be what he called you to do, but anyway, he's going to still purify you to get you to do the job. Okay, let's go on back, and then I'm going to finish up. Because I did say, I promise I wasn't going to keep you long. So just remember, when you're going through trials and tribulations, God is just turning up the heat. He's trying to get you to move on something. And I want you to remember this too. It was the Almighty that turned Job over to Satan. And I want you to realize that Job, in the end, got double for his trouble. He got double for his trouble. And also, in between there, he also got, if it ain't one thing, it's another. So we have to, you know, if you're having those days where it's, if you're having one of those days where it's, if it ain't one thing, it's another, then count it all joy. Because maybe the Lord is trying to do something. And we should stop giving Satan the credit for everything. Sometimes God is trying to get us to do something. Okay, going right back to Peter, where we can close this out. Verse 7, I'm going to go halfway down, where it says that we should be to the praise and honor of glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In other words, once we've been sanctified, justified, we'll be glorified, because glorification is already done for us. Glorification is already done. It's a done deal. Going back to what we was talking about in Exodus chapter 24, my brothers and sisters, when the Lord is sprinkling us with the blood and we say, I agree, he is just setting us apart. We are being sanctified, glorified, and justified, not necessarily in that order. Okay, and finishing up. Everything that God does in our life, the foreknowledge of God, is for our own good. It is for our own good. Turn to Romans chapter 8, which I should have talked about that first for foreknowledge. Romans chapter 8. Around that 28th verse. And we'll read all the way down to the 31st verse. It says that, and we know, not that we think, it says that, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that loves God, to them who are called according to his purpose. According to his purpose, not your purpose, not your will, his will. For whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, then he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. What shall we then say these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm going to go all the way down to 32, and then I'm going to close it out. He that is spared not his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How shall he not? He's equipping us to do what he called us to do. So how can he not give us the equipment to do what we're supposed to do? He has given it to us. We just have to seek him. And once we start seeking him, then we'll find him. And once we find him, he'll tell us what to do or what we need to do in according to his will. And in closing, my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ went through a lot of suffering for mankind. The chosen people at first was the Israelites. It was a chosen generation. And like Pastor Bob said, we are the church age generation. We are the citizen of heaven now. We are citizens. But we are chosen people as well, the Gentiles and stuff. We are Christians. We are heavenly bound. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been sealed. So with that being said, I'm going to pray and then I'm going to release everyone. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I truly thank thee for allowing us to be here tonight, dear Lord. I hope that something that was said that maybe it will enlighten some of your people to do what you have called them to do, to allow you to move the impurities that the fire that you give, dear Lord, to move the impurities out of them. Because, Father, you're just trying to position all of us. And one day we all may serve you in fellowship through Christ Jesus. Amen.